almost midday, 21st century world. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Whether you're listening to me in your car, or driving to work, or driving home, or whether you are at home, a very warm welcome to you. Here in the Celtic Islands, the weather is rather winterish at the moment, especially in the northern regions, so please drive carefully, walk carefully, or even cycle carefully. And keep in mind that the road will always wait for you. Your destination isn't going anywhere. I like to use the designation the Celtic Isles rather than the British Isles. The latter doesn't work for me. There are two main islands here in this part of the Atlantic. The island of Ireland, and to its east, the island of Britain. Then around both of those two islands, there are several islands. For example, here in Ireland, we have Valentia, the Blaskids, the Aran, Acha, Ratlands, the Isle, and between Ireland and Britain, we have the Isle of Man, and to the south, the Isle of Wight, which is spelled W-I-G-H-T. Around Scotland, there are about maybe 790 or so Scottish Isles, including, for example, the Hebrides, the Orkney, Shetland, and Iona. All these taken together make up what I would like to call the Celtic Isles. Driving through the countryside here in Ireland, it often feels like I'm driving through the fields. Not literally, not driving on the grass, but rather the roads just seem to be going through fields the whole time. And I noticed yesterday especially that the streams and rivers have overflowed their banks. And I wondered to myself, the fish that swim in there, when they see this, if they do see it, if they notice it, do they feel the river is bigger? And if they do, are they feeling good about it? Great, it's a big river. And then I thought to myself, what if they swam all the way to the sea? In comparison, what would they think of the sea? Perhaps they'd be gobsmacked. Just a word on my broadcast. This is my main daily broadcast. Otherwise, throughout the day, I may share stories from my books or something I like, or even recite song lyrics, which I really like doing. Because I often feel that while a song can be sung and the music is added to it, and you get a certain feel for it, you can also get another feel if you were to recite the lyrics themselves without music. And I've decided also to evolve the broadcast a little here. Rather than look at an entire country like I was doing for the previous broadcast, I will try and focus on any UNESCO World Heritage sites located in a country. And as I mentioned, this is a pet subject of mine. I really am passionate about preserving the old, what was built in old, even going back thousands and thousands of years. We need to preserve these things for our future generations and let them enjoy what we enjoy, and also remember the journey of our humankind. Today we will be learning about one such site in Angola. And after that, I will conclude today's broadcast with a poem. So just wait a moment. The town of Banza, Congo, was the political and spiritual capital of the Kingdom of Congo, one of the largest constituted states of southern Africa, which was active from the 14th to the 19th century. Located on a plateau at an altitude of 570 meters, it was prosperous when the Portuguese arrived in the 15th century. To the large existing urban conurbation built in local materials, the Portuguese added and substituted stone buildings constructed in accordance with European construction methods, including several churches. The town then experienced the expansion of Christianity with the westernization of the local elites. without, however, renouncing its culture. In its full structure and archaeological vestiges, the town retains the traces of its customary colonial and religious past, of which it is an eminent place of remembrance. The Kingdom of Congo was at the center of the most important route for the trade in enslaved persons who were deported to the Americas and the Caribbean. No material vestige attested to the slave trade has been found up to now. The date of inscription for this site has been 2017. If you'd like to learn more about it, visit the UNESCO.org website. It's really wonderful, and they have some very nice photographs and very nicely laid out. Okay, I'll be back in a moment with a poem. Welcome back. Today's poem is Bread by Richard Levine. Each night, in a space he'd make between waking and purpose, my grandfather donned his one suit in our still dark house and drove through Brooklyn's deserted streets following trolley tracks to the bakery. There he'd change into white linen, work clothes and cap, and in the absence of women, his hands were both loving, well into dawn and throughout the day, kneading, rolling out, shaping each astonishing moment of yeasty predictability in that windowless world lit by slightly swaying naked bulbs, where the shadows staggered, woozy with the aromatic warmth of the work. Then the suit and drive again. At our table, graced by a loaf that steamed when we sliced it, softened the butter, and leavened the very air we'd breathe. He'd count us blessed. All right, I'll finish with that for today. And I would just say to you, take good care of yourself and the people around you. And an idea today might be to try and go into the kitchen and cook some food or bake something, bake a cake. And just realize how much work it takes to prepare a meal, and to do it every day, every week, every month. So today when you sit down at the table and your mother or your wife or whoever it is who prepares the meal for you, be ever so grateful. And don't complain. Be sensitive and think about how much effort went into doing it, and also where the product, the ingredients came from. It's a whole journey, and it requires us to be ever so grateful. Okay, this is Radio Richard Ireland, and I'll end with a nice little bit of Italian instrumental music. Just one moment.